here. Glad we have a good crowd here on this Wednesday night. And got some good news. Brother Judd just told me that there was five over in Discovery Club that asked the Lord to save them tonight. Praise the Lord for that. What a blessing that is. To be able to sow the seed, plant the seed, work and labor, and then God brings the increase. Praise the Lord. That is awesome. We're going to be in Psalms chapter 115 tonight. Psalms chapter 115. Good to see Sister Swagman back and out of the rehab. Talked with the Phillips today, and Sister Phillips is not doing too well. She's got kind of a stomach bug on top of taking care of Brother Bill, and he has still a little pneumonia on him, is what the doctor said this past doctor's visit. So that's been over a month. I guess he must have had a good dose of that. So continue to pray for them. They will be able to get their medical situation worked out. You can see them back here in the house of God. Psalms 115. How many of y'all really enjoy going car shopping? Buying, or not just shopping. There's a difference in shopping. You're actually going to buy it a lot, not from an individual. I was going to buy a car, Brother Carl, Brother Carl, say, I want $4,600 for it. It's got 82,000 miles on it. And I said, well, I only have 43. We work it out. How many of y'all know it don't work that way at the car lot? How many of you like to get to the bottom line? Because the bottom line is what matters. It's not what they tell you along through there. Kind of amazed me about these phone bills anymore, but all the, it's going to cost you $35 a month. By the time they get done, it's $67. You don't even know what in the world happened. I mean, they just keep adding this. You know, I like the bottom line. And I'm glad I've got God that He just lets us know the bottom line. Psalms 115 and verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. That's the bottom line, dear friend. That's it. I mean, we can talk a lot about different things, you know, and get things about what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it and the operation of things. But the bottom line, dear friend, is God has put us here on this earth that we might bring glory to His name. Not personal glory. I mean, you know, a lot of times that's what we want. We want that attaboy. Attagirl. Boy, you know, you did well. We want to hear from the Lord, you've done well. And so a lot of times that's what we hear, but the bottom line here, dear friend, when we read this verse, not of us, O Lord, and the psalmist wrote again, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. You know, when John the Baptist was there gathered about, he was one that could have had a lot of glory. Because Jesus actually said, it's Jesus' own testimony, those born above women, among women, there's none greater than John the Baptist. So when John the Baptist is there sitting around, you know, with his disciples around John chapter 1 and verse number 29, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And he kind of backed out. I mean, he could have. He was a pretty good theologian, to be honest with you. I mean, he knew the Word of God. His whole job was to make straight the path for the Lord. That was his job, to come out and make it fast. This was the man that was sent of God, that was chosen to be the one to baptize our Lord. That's what the Bible writes about him. That's a pretty good claim, right? You know, Paul said this. Paul said, I didn't come baptizing, save a few of you. I come to preach the gospel. John, he came preaching and baptizing. And there was the Lord that showed him. Now, we know the story. We're a Wednesday night crowd here. As the Lord came, he was like, I'm not even worthy to fool around with unloosing your shoe latches there, Lord. And he said, nevertheless, let it be. And off into the water they went. He could have pumped up his horn pretty good. He could have. I mean, he could have did it quite a bit. I was reading the story today. I think from Sister Kim Monk, one of our friends. She posted a story. It was about a young boy that was always teased and always made fun of, and the other boys at the school would always tease him real hard, and they would show him a nickel and a dime. And the young boy, the one always being teased, would take the nickel. Because in their mind, he was taking it because, well, the nickel's much bigger. Dimes, that looks littler. So, to prove their point, they were teasing. And one day, after some time had passed, a man there approached him and said, listen, John, why don't you know they're just making fun of you. They're just at you making fun of you. Now, why don't you just take the dime? He said, if I take the dime, they'll stop. And I've already earned $20. It wasn't about John the Baptist. It was about the Lord. John could have pumped himself up. He was kind of an odd character too, wasn't he? I mean, how many of y'all would have went tonight out of your way? Some of you drove quite a bit to get over here. Would have drove to hear a man preach that had a jar of honey and some wild locusts there beside him in camel's hair. That guy over there, I think we'll just stay home tonight. You know, Fred Sanford's looking pretty good. Be honest, that in itself, baptizing the Lord. Well, he had one in his audience that didn't care too much for him, did he? He got his head chopped off, didn't he? But the whole thing was to bring glory to the Lamb. And that is the bottom line, dear friend. It's not really how many, attaboys we get or well done. Boy, that was really a good job you did. Now, don't let me discourage you from giving somebody their due. But don't be a soloist. Can you imagine with me just for a moment? The armies of Midian was all down in camp. Gideon's all ready to put fleece in, fleece out, wet in, wet out. Took them down to drink like at the creek, and they separated them, and he turned to the big crowd, and the Lord said, no, that's not it. Now here, you're going to take these 300, Gideon? Wow, I surely hope they're rangers or something. I hope they've been to some real combat training. Well, now leave your sword at home. Take this trumpet. Lord, I didn't want the United States Army Band. And these pictures need lights. Can you imagine that night if one of them wanted to be a soloist? It's only 300 of them. And here he is off on this side, some off this side, 100 over here. And they're hid down in the bushes. Then when Gideon gave the signal, just one. It'd been a mess, wouldn't it? Would have been a mess. How about walking around Jericho? You imagine that game plan. Well, we're going to take Jericho. And this is how we're going to do it. We're going to march in silence. Yeah, psychological warfare. This is going to work. We'll scare them down to their boots. They'll be shaking in their boots. First day. Let's go again. Second. I'm telling you, dear friend, about the fourth day, some of them is beginning to think their commander-in-chief had done lost it. And on the seventh day, seven times. What if a handful of them would have charged the wall? Then all the arrows would have flew down off that wall. It'd been a mess. You remember Achan in that same battle? He wanted to be a soloist, didn't he? That was all for God's glory. And he took some things that didn't belong to him. The bottom line, dear friend, God's put us here upon this earth that we bring him glory. And that's where we need to know. What is the bottom line? The bottom line is, dear friend, we need to be like John the Baptist. That we make sure that we are pointing people in the right direction. Not garnishing attention to ourselves. How many of y'all know of attention getters? Pretty funny in the beginning, right? After a while, it gets annoying. Right? Attention getter. We're not to be attention getters. We're to be pointing people to Christ. And the way we point people to Christ, dear friend, has a lot to how we honor him in our daily living. So if we have a purpose, our purpose is not us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. If we're left here to bring glory to God, to point people to Christ, we've got to ask ourselves a few questions. I'm not going to dwell upon these. But how's your daily living? Too often, you know, if we're not careful, we're pretty good folks around Sunday morning, Sunday school time, Sunday morning worship time, Sunday evening worship time, Wednesday evening worship time. We're pretty good at Bible study times because we know that's how we're supposed to be at those times. But how are we in our daily living? Because last time I checked, dear friend, when I woke up yesterday, Tuesday morning, I woke up and the Holy Spirit of God still abided in me. All day long. All day long. This is the wonderful thing about the Lord, dear friend. Brother Dick, I've messed up some quiet, a whole bunch. Yeah, if we had one of those calculators up here, we'd have a big old number. And not one of those mess ups has the Lord changed how much he loved me, whether more or less. His love is unmeasurable. It's immeasurable. It's without end. I mean, it just, it's amazing, the love of God. But you know, so if we ask our questions, are we honoring him in our daily living? I guess that would move off into our homes. I think all of us wake up at home. I don't know how many of you just bodily transport yourself spiritually like Philip did to work and back and forth. Well, you know, we're not the Jetsons. We get up at home, we drive to work. So I guess we need to ask ourselves, how do we start off at home? That's a good place to start. Why is that a good place to start? Because it's familiar to us. We got folks around us who, you know, if we're saved, we're family, that we love the Lord, we're trying to go in the right direction. That should be a good place to bring some honor. But how many of you know, as well as I do, that many times in the home, that's where the chaos begins? Wonder why that is. I tell you why. The home is an institution of God. And the devil's against God. There's no wonder, dear friend, that divorces run so rapid throughout the generations of society. It's not a new thing, by the way. Divorce has been around since Bible days. Moses got so aggravated at them, said, listen, that heifer burns your toast. Get rid of her. Get you in that. I know that's another version, but that's in my thought. Don't get all mad. I'm still King James. But in my mind, that's what Moses said. How many of you like them Lucky Charms? And you only like the marshmallow. That'd be like you waking up and your wife done dug through there throughout the night. It ain't a marshmallow in that thing. It's nothing but the charms. Not the charms. Which one is it? Lucky or the charm? Which one would be missing? I don't know. The marshmallow would be gone and you'd be wanting some. It'd be like you going, I just saw a sign, $99. You'd be headed down there with your box of Lucky Charms right before the magistrate and said, why are you here? She ate all of the marshmallows. It's time to get rid of it. You thought, listen, it's been around long. Why has that been? God married the first couple. The devil's against God. Why is it the churches fall apart whenever Jesus Christ founded the church's earthly ministry and he loved the church and died and gave himself for it? Why does churches fall apart? I told y'all one time, we were down in Magnolia, Mississippi, and lo and behold, the church split right half in two and fell apart because one of the ladies didn't get to bring the evangelist a pie. A pie of all things. Why? You think her pie was better than the other lady's pie? No, they both bought it down at the Piggly Wiggly. What was the reason? The devil is against churches. Breaks my heart to think about all the great men of God of old. They're dead and gone, and now their churches that they planted and started, labored, and served in until they just was too feeble to go on. Now they ain't even churches. They just closed down. It's not because they were not good men. It was because the devil is against God and the church is the institution of the day. We are in the church age. God wants to use churches. So, if I'm to bring honor, how am I at home? Don't be surprised, dear friend, when you wake up in the morning on the wrong side of the bed and the grouching and the fighting and biting starts early in the morning. We're in a spiritual battle, dear friend. Amen. If the devil can get you there and get you all upset at home, you can get at work and start fussing and fighting with coworkers. And before you know it, you're fussing and fighting with your boss. And next thing you know, you're down at the unemployment office. That's how the devil, I am amazed the amount of people who really in the back of their mind must think the devil is their friend. The Bible says he is our arch enemy. He's the arch enemy of God. You've got to understand this. He wanted to take God's throne. And where does God want his throne to be today? So what does the devil want? He still wants God's throne. Okay. So if it's at home, and then we have